3 weeks ago, we took a look at our year verse again, Romans 1:16, and today we're going to review and continue looking at the truth that we were talking about then, and which Romans 1:16 teaches. And that is this, that present tense salvation is victorious Christian living. Present tense salvation is victorious Christian living. Look at the verse together on the screen. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Over in the first major building you see as you drive into campus, the administration building, there's a painting on the wall in the lobby of R.C. McQuilkin, who's the founder and first president of this school, and there's a bronze plaque next to the painting which gives a few details about his life, and then it says this on the plaque: the twofold message upon which this school was founded, given through God's servant, is victorious living in Christ is gloriously possible to yielded, trusting hearts. And the gospel must be taken to the ends of the earth before Christ shall return. Victorious Christian living, world evangelization, to know him and to make him known. I never knew R.C. McQuilkin, but I did read about him, and I want to tell you how I came to read about him. I have a book up here which is the story of R.C. McQuilkin's life entitled Always in Triumph. It's in the library, and I had to read this as a work penalty. In all seriousness, I got caught in a cheating scam in my freshman year here, and which is a longer story than I can tell you the details now, but God really worked through that incident. And one of the things that I had to do as a result of that was to read this book. And I'm not sure that penalties like that are always turn into positive experiences, but mine did. And as I read this book and read how this normal person just like you and me came to understand the message of victorious Christian living, I said to myself, "That I want that. I want that." And the book makes it very clear that you can have that, that God offers that to every single believer. I guess you could say when I came here as a believer, as a Christian, I was kind of like the guy that, you know, when chainsaws were first invented, he heard about a chainsaw and he went to a rental store and he rented this chainsaw and he went out and he cut wood all day and he came back all hot and sweaty and he said, "This chainsaw is no good. It took me all day to cut down one tree." And the guy at the store said, "Well, let's take a look at it." He checked the oil and turned the switch on and pulled the crank and the guy that rented the saw looked at it and said, "What's that strange noise?" And that's kind of the way I was as a believer when I came here. Didn't understand the power that God has provided for every believer. Now, let's look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The gospel, who Jesus is and what Jesus did. Fully God, fully man. The one who died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, one who rose again from the dead. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is the gospel. Look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. This is a great Bible word, salvation. Just look at the word on the screen and say to yourself this: I need this word today as much as I needed it the day that I realized I was a sinner and gave my life to Christ. I need God's salvation today. It's a great Bible word. It occurs in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, 336 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New Testament. Now, I'd like to suggest that you spend as much time studying the word in the Old Testament as you do in the New Testament. In fact, it's been a tremendous help to me to go back into the Old Testament and study all that God's word says about salvation. Let's look again at the theological biblical definition of the word salvation. Spiritual deliverance granted by God to those who accept his condition of faith in the Lord Jesus, in whom alone it is to be obtained. That comes from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. I need this kind of spiritual deliverance today. Look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Salvation, not just past, not just future, but now, today. Stuart Briscoe says that many Christians are like beds. They have a strong headboard and they have a strong footboard, but the mattress is sagging in the middle. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, yes, but what about now? Vance Havner says, we as Christians need to stop singing about the sweet by and by and start living in the nasty now and now. And God has made provision for that. We saw last time that in God's word, salvation is presented in three stages. Salvation past, salvation present, and salvation future. And all three stages are included in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I know that because the man who wrote that verse under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit wrote the rest of the book of Romans. I need the gospel, the message of Christ's saving death and life yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What is salvation? Salvation is deliverance, past, present, and future. Past tense salvation is deliverance from the penalty of sin. Present tense salvation is deliverance from the power of sin. And future tense salvation is deliverance from the presence of sin. And the focus that we're giving on this wonderful verse is the present tense application of the biblical word salvation. Salvation from the power of sin. So, as we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, salvation past, present, and future is by grace, through faith, and of God. When I came to Christ initially as my Savior, it was by faith. It was through, by grace, through faith, and it was totally of God. He saved me. I can't save myself. Today, walking in victory, walking as God intends me to walk, it's again by grace, through faith, and of God. And in that day, either when Jesus comes again or I die, it will be by grace, through faith, and of God that I enter into future tense salvation. So, salvation, past, present, and future. Conversion, victorious Christian living, promotion to glory. Now, let's talk a little bit more about victorious Christian living and what it's not. Victorious Christian living is not average Christian living. Let me read you a great description of me when I came to this school. Professing believers typically think and behave very much like morally upright non-Christians. They are decent enough, but there is nothing supernatural about them. Their behavior is quite explainable in terms of heredity, early environment, and present circumstances. They yield to temptation more often than not, lusting when their body demands it, coveting what they do not have, and taking credit for their accomplishments. The touchstone for their choices is self-interest. And though they have a love for God and others, it does not control their life. There is little change for the better. In fact, most professing believers do not expect much improvement and are little concerned about that prospect. Scripture is not exciting. Prayer is mechanical. And service for the Lord demonstrates little touch of the supernatural. Above all, their life seems to have an empty core, for it does not center around a constant personal companionship with the Lord. That was me when I came here. I loved the Lord, I loved other people, but I really didn't expect what God promises. Now, victorious Christian living is not average Christian living, but neither is it super duper Christian living or perfectionism. It's not sinless perfection, but it appears super duper to those who are average. And if I walk a normal Christian life, some people will make fun of me. And some people will accuse me of trying to be super spiritual because the quality of my life will be so much different than theirs. What is victorious Christian living? Victorious Christian living is God's intended present tense salvation norm for every believer. Please write that down. God's intended present tense salvation norm for every believer. This is why Jesus died and rose again. Not just to save me from the penalty of sin, as wonderful as that is, but to save me from the power of sin today. So, the good news of the gospel is that God can and will enable every believer to live in consistent victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. But do we really believe that? Let me just mention one verse that we all know. In fact, we looked at this verse in CHM 1100, which is the class that all new students take in the college. And it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I love to put together 1 Corinthians 10:13 with John 14:6. Because in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way. And in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are told, when temptation comes, God provides a way. And Jesus says, I am the way. Love to put those two verses together. So look at the verse again, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation, the victory of everyone who believes. Now, let's get it clear. Salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord, Jehovah, is my salvation. Salvation is not something that we take and use for our purposes, but someone who takes and uses us for his purposes. So, in the same way, victory is not a thing. Victory is a person. 1 Samuel 15:29, he, God, is the victory of Israel. Look at John 14:20. Jesus says, you are in me and I am in you. You are in me, that's my position. I am in you, that is my power. Look at Galatians 2:20. Christ lives in me. You know, every time I read this, I just have to ask everybody to say this out loud. So will you say those four words out loud together with me? Christ lives in me. Here we go. Christ lives in me. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? And who is it that's living in me? It's God Almighty himself, because that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God, And Jesus is living in me. He's the creator. He's the creator. If I believe Genesis 1:1, I can believe anything else. Because that's who's living in me. That's why I love Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. If he could do that, he can do anything. So we argue from the greater to the lesser. And then I love Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where we read, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who is it that lives in me? It's Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God. He's the creator of the universe, and he's the redeemer of the world. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Arguing again from the greater to the lesser. I mean, if he could do that, he could do anything. That's why Romans 8:31 says, so if God be for us, who can be against us? Philippians 4:13, look at it again on the screen. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. I can do everything through him who strengthens me. Last time we looked at this verse together, I gave you a long list of all the things that many people here in this room have said to me, I can't, I can't, I can't. But the message of victorious Christian living is that I can. I can. I do it through him who strengthens me. So, what's the message of Romans 1:16? The message is that the gospel applies to me today. Look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Present tense salvation. The gospel is the power of God for present tense salvation. Today, every day, whatever temptation comes, it's the power of God for my salvation. Now, the word, I've had the word capitalized here in this verse that's on the screen. Power of God. It's the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the English word through derivation, dynamite. Jesus is living in me. He's the power of God. Dynamite. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says this, now unto him who is able, same word, Greek word, dunamis, now unto him who has the power to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The gospel is the power of God. Now look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is. Not just was, not just will be, but it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Now, today. So, why isn't everybody living this way? Why is there defeat and not victory? Because some of you have talked to me about this even since our last chapel together. Three reasons. Ignorance. You haven't really thought about this before. You didn't know there was a motor in the chainsaw. Or spiritual drift. You haven't gotten serious about what you do know. You've known this, sort of, but you haven't gotten serious about it and really believed it. Or rebellion. You don't want it. You want to do your own thing. You want license to do what I please, not power to do what I ought. Now, if you're in the third category, and you may be, and I'm not thinking of anybody in particular, but if you are, God's word gives you no assurance that you can even call yourself a child of God. Now, you may, but anyone who lives in a constant state of selfish rebellion has no right to call himself or herself a child of God. I don't care how many aisles you may have walked. I don't care how many prayers you may have prayed. 1 John 2:4 says, if any man says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So, ignorance, spiritual drift, rebellion. Look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. You, me, everyone, youngest Christian here, most immature Christian here, oldest Christian here, most distinguished faculty member here, longest tenure, everyone, everyone, the gospel is for me. But how does this become my experience? How? That's the big word. How? And I'm so glad that the Bible gives us the answer in this verse. And the answer is by faith. By faith. Look at the verse again on the screen. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Who believes? What does this mean? All right, this means this. Just as I was saved by faith, I am saved by faith today. Write down Colossians 2:6 in your notes. What a wonderful verse. Just as you received Christ Jesus, continue to live in him. How did you receive the Lord the day that you were saved? Past tense salvation. You simply believed. You simply believed. You didn't sit there and try to figure it all out. You just knew that what Jesus said was true, what he did is true, and you believed. And when you believed, he saved you. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live in him. Colossians 2:6. By faith. And by the way, faith, you know why faith is so difficult for so many people? Because it's so simple. It's not complicated. We make it complicated, but it's simple. Faith is simple. You study all that Scripture says about faith. Faith is, faith. The Bible says faith is like eating. Jesus said you need to eat me. Faith is like drinking. It's looking. Some of you are here at Columbia 2001 when Adrian Dupre preached on the serpent in the wilderness. All they had to do was look. Just open their eyes and look. That's what faith is. It's just looking. Walking through a door, tasting, listening, washing, stepping out of the boat, Peter. Reaching out and touching the Lord, the woman with the issue of blood. Faith is simple. It's just taking the Lord for what he says and believing that he is who he is, that he's living in me, and he'll do what he says he'll do. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Faith is needed because God is needed. Now look at the next verse, which is not on the screen, but in the Bible says this. 1 John 5, 5 says this. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he or she who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's not just faith in faith, but it's faith in God. It's faith in the one who lives in me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who's living in me. So, the most important thing about faith is not faith, but its object. What does that mean? Well, strong faith in thin ice will make me drown. Weak faith in thick ice, and I can be saved. Some of you are hung up on, oh, if I could only believe more. No, it's not how you believe, but who you believe in. So the message of victory for me and for you and for all of us is not trust Christ. The message of victory is trust Christ. All right, now look at the verse again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Let me just say a word about my own testimony in this area when I came here as a student. Man, I could give you a long list. I just picked out four things that I struggled with as a believer, as a person who knew the Lord as my Savior and loved the Lord and and wanted to be everything he wanted me to be, but hadn't understood this wonderful present tense salvation that's just as available as past tense salvation. I struggled with lust, captive to the demon of infatuation and the selfish pleasure of sexual stimulation. Learned that in high school. I struggled with anger. I hated to lose. I remember one basketball game here on this campus where it took three people to carry me off the court, restraining me because I wanted to kill somebody on the other side. In fact, I think it was the ref. Anger, uncontrollable anger, and the worst was anger at myself. It was my precious wife who's here this morning who pointed out to me that one of the worst forms of anger is anger with yourself, because you are despising God's beautiful creation. Dishonesty. I struggled with tremendous temptation to always exaggerate, to make myself look better, telling the truth. And then unkindness. I don't know about you, but one of the things I struggled with when I came here was my great skill in putting people down, making a cutting remark, winning a verbal argument. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. That's not true. You can kill people verbally. And I was good at it. And I couldn't stop. And then I heard and believed this simple message that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And I remember the day over in the dormitory, I just got down on my knees. And in a simple prayer of faith, there was no lights and bells and whistles, the ceiling didn't open up and bright light showing or anything like that. I just simply by faith, just as I did the day I received Christ as my Savior, I said, Lord, I want to believe you for all that you promise now in my life, as well as the way I believed you when I asked you to save me. And the Lord heard that prayer. Now, my wife is here. It's always good to have the person that lives closest to you present when you're speaking, because they keep you honest. And she'll tell you that I have not lived a sinless life by any stretch of the imagination. Nor am I saying you can. Nor does God's word say you can. But she will tell you that God has continued to work in my life this wonderful truth, giving me victory over anger, over lust, over unkindness, over dishonesty. And it's gloriously possible, like the plaque says in the administration building, but more because God's word teaches it. Now, let's pray together. And I'm going to give you a chance this morning to respond to what I've been teaching. And we just have a few minutes before we have to move on to our next assignment or class. But some of you, either because of ignorance or spiritual drift or outright rebellion, need to make a faith decision today. A faith decision to believe. To believe Christ for victory as you did for initial salvation. You don't know how he saved you when you first believed, but he did. And you don't know how he'll save you now, but he will, if you believe. Now, we're going to sing again, and we're going to pray first, then we're going to sing. And while we're singing, everybody look up here for a minute. Everybody look up, okay? I just want to make this very clear. Many of you are living in the reality of this. Praise the Lord. Some of you, this is new stuff. You've never heard this before. You've never seen the simplicity of it. Some of you still don't understand it. That's okay. But if you do understand it, and you say, you know what? I just need to believe today. Simple faith, as I did when I asked Jesus to save me initially. And I just want to go on record that I'm going to believe him for present tense salvation as I believed him for past tense salvation and as I am believing him for future tense salvation. If you've never done that, like I hadn't when I came, I want to invite you just to leave your seat and come down and just kneel here in the front as we sing. Now let's pray, and then we'll stand and sing. Let's pray. Lord, this is an important moment, and I just pray that that you will not snatch, that Satan will not snatch away the seed that's being sown, this simple but profound truth of present tense salvation, victorious Christian living possible through the indwelling Christ and the given Holy Spirit. How we thank you that God is living in us, and by faith we can trust you and your power to make us victorious. I don't know what it is that different kids here this morning or faculty or staff are struggling with, but you've promised us the victory over every one of those things. I pray that as we sing now and as we do business with you, you'll just work in our hearts and by grace, through faith and of God, I pray that many would cross that line into believing you today for present tense victory. I pray this in Jesus' name.